ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba
Tuesday. I think I forgot to do it yesterday.
There was a lot going on yesterday. What with the eclipse and all? You seem shaken up. Are you okay? Is everything all right?
Oh, you just want me to mention it on the air so you can gloat?
No.
Yes, you do.
Maybe.
You usually get up here before I do.
Yeah.
And I noticed you weren't here, although there are days that you lag behind. I don't know what you do, but sometimes you're not up here.
I have a side job, Wendy. I work at Sbarro.
I love Sbarro.
I'll get you a 10% discount next time you come in, ask for me.
Sweet.
You're welcome.
So I went to the chair that I sit in, and the chair was out pretty far, which really should have been a sign.
Yeah. That somebody might have been hiding under your desk, waiting to scare the daylights out of you.
I did not swear. Did you and Kevin have bets?
Kevin and I bet. We knew you would swear, but
because
we bet
I
on
swear
which
more than
swear
anyone
word.
You've ever met.
That's true.
I didn't swear.
Kevin said you would say the ultimate swear word, and I said it
Bill
would be.
Leff.
I said it would be. This is what I thought you'd say. My word. But instead, you went with you suck.
Oh, is that
very,
what I said?
Very loudly.
Yeah,
very loudly.
It was very clean. I was surprised.
Kevin could hear it. Now, this is a soundproof studio, and Kevin
were
could
you
hear
recording?
It through the wall.
Oh, I should have been recording.
Yeah, we could
what
have used
I
that
thinking?
In court.
In court for what?
My defamation charges case against you. You can't just
I
say
defamed you?
You said, yeah, you can't just say you suck.
I'll be
That's
witness.
Awful.
I saw it happen.
It's terrible. So now look what it's done to my self-esteem.
It made you proud.
I'm a shadow of my former self after that.
Kevin says to me, you know, I'm surprised you don't look under the desk every time you come in. And I said, because you wait like a year in between scares.
Yeah, I don't do it all the time.
I've seen it at least twice I've seen it happen now.
In two years.
How long have you been with us?
Just about 3 years now, yeah.
All right.
So
see?
About a year and a half between, right?
You don't want me to be on to you or anything.
No, I don't want to establish a pattern. I want it to be always a surprise.
This reminds me of when I was little. I shared a room with my sister. Betsy, and my bed was up against a wall, but not right up against it. There was a little space in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, I had some pillow stuffing because I was crafty even then on the side of my bed. And I got into my bed. I saw the white out of the corner of my eye, and it's
yeah.
like, oh, it's the pillow stuffing.
Yeah.
And I went to fall asleep. Well, I guess it was my brother crouched down wearing a white t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
And as soon as I, like, he didn't do it right away. He let me almost fall asleep, and then he just stood up and went, oh.
Oh, that's perfect.
And I screamed, and I cried, and I think my brother got the belt after that. And then my sister and brother are laughing at me going, your bed is normally a foot away from the wall. This time it was like 4 feet away from the wall. You didn't notice it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a little kid, man. I just went to go to bed. I trusted my family.
You should never trust your family.
I trust no one anymore.
You can't trust anybody. One of my favorite scares of all time was, remember, before Svengoolie, it was called Screaming Yellow Theater, and it was on Channel 32 on Friday nights. Saturday nights was reserved for creature features,
yep.
but Friday nights was Screaming Yellow Theater. So my mom and my brother and I were in our kitchen watching the movie Horror Hotel with Christopher Lee. He was in the movie. He wasn't watching it with us.
Darn.
No, that would have been cool.
That's before Comic-Con.
Right.
He might have been in
town.
He
would just make an appearance at our house, and we'd watch a movie together. So we were all watching the TV in the kitchen, and the lights were off, and my mom was sitting in a chair that the way our kitchen and living room were situated is it was a complete open circle. You could go in on either side. And my dad snuck around the back, and at a very opportune moment in Horror Hotel, he just moved his head around the corner where my mom was sitting and drinking hot chocolate, and he made this noise, like that at my mom. And she was so afraid that her hot chocolate went way up in the air and splattered on the ceiling.
Oh,
we had a
God.
Stain, a hot chocolate stain, that we kept there for years as a reminder of that evening. And then when it was time to paint the kitchen, we considered not having that part painted because
it was such a great memory.
It was a great memory of my mom being scared out of her mind.
Did she laugh about it later?
She laughed about it immediately because, I mean, it was
she was such a good sport.
Yeah, she was a good sport. I think a lot of other mothers
would have left.
We would never have saw her again. But she stayed with us, luckily.
Yeah, but the fact that you kept the stain on the ceiling kills me.
Yeah. The one I'm most proud of is one year at Christmas time, we were all going to go to Lincoln Mall to go Christmas shopping, but my brother was very sick. He had either a very bad cold or a light fever. I can't remember. It was somewhere in the middle. So the three of us decide we'll go Christmas shopping. Adam will stay home alone. So we all get in the car, and then I say to my mom and dad, you know, maybe you guys should go. Somebody should really take care of him. He's sick.
Boy, how did they ever believe that ruse?
So what I did is I went into the house, and I went downstairs, and I turned off the main circuit breaker, and then I just made frightening noises on the stairs up to his bedroom. And it scared him like crazy.
He could have died. Really, he was so weak with sickness.
He could have, but I think he, like, I think he was thinking, I'm probably imagining all this because I'm feverish, you know? But boy, did I scare him good. And looked like a good guy while doing it. Because I said to my parents, you can't leave him by himself.
But when they got home, they didn't find out the truth.
Oh, he told them immediately. Yeah.
You got, I mean, listen, I never like to be a snitch, but something like that, you have to.
Yeah. I would have been disappointed in him if he hadn't. Have told, but you know, they were of the same mindset as me. If you're going to scare somebody, go all out. So even though they scolded me, I think deep down they were proud.
And you continue this tradition in your family.
To this day.
I know. And it's weird because I don't think your wife grew up in a family much like yours.
No,
but
not
yet
at all.
She's totally on board with you.
She's so good at it. You know, she does a thing like her schedule changes every week. I never know what her work schedule is or what she does for a living, to be honest with you. I have no idea. She won't tell me. So her work schedule is always different. So she'll, this is how well thought out this is. She'll park in the back, like, you know, completely down the alley and in the back. And then she'll come in and she'll hide in a closet because she knows what time I get home. I get home within a 5 minute plus or minus every day. So she'll hide in a closet or something or in the pantry in our kitchen. You know, I'll go in to get something to eat or drink and she'll just put her arm on mine as I go in there. She's so good at it.
See, it's patience, which I don't have.
You got to have patience for this to work.
I can't. Like, what? You were, how long were you under my desk here?
5 minutes.
See,
that's
I would have given up. I give about 30 seconds.
I could go out if I know that it'll pay off. I'll go through, my limit is 3 hours. Then I go, this is ridiculous, but I'll go 3 hours. I'll wait.
How is that fun again?
It just is. Now that said, you know, I never use public restrooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been in my own bathroom once ever where I don't check behind the curtain to make sure somebody's not hiding and going to jump out when I'm using the bathroom at home.
Well, that's just from seeing Psycho.
A lot of it is from Psycho.
Because I honestly, for years, did that.
Yeah.
Now I don't. Sometimes I still do open it.
What if one day you're in your own bathroom and you look behind and it was actually Anthony Perkins behind there? Wouldn't that be that'd be the best?
I'd say, could I have your autograph? Now get out of here.
Late Anthony Perkins, you've been dead for years. What are you doing in my shower? But when he was alive, that would have been the ultimate payoff to get Anthony Perkins to just hang out in your shower and scare you.
But riddle me this.
Yes.
Say you pull back the shower curtain and there was someone there and it wasn't Anthony Perkins, it was a stranger. What would you do?
All right. Great question. When I was really little, and I don't know, keep in mind I was little during this, so the thought process hadn't fully matured. I had a can of Glade.
So at the ready?
So I would have sprayed them with Glade, and then they would have smelled like roses.
Before they killed you.
Right. Because no killer wants to smell like roses. That would ruin their rep. But I always had a can of Glade ready. Now I just look just to make sure no one's going to jump out at me.
But what would you do if you opened the curtain and someone was there?
I'd scream like crazy. You'd hear me all the way.
Would you say you suck?
No, I don't think I'd say that. Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. Because that was presumptuous of you. You didn't know it was me.
Yes, I did.
You did?
Who else would it be?
You just heard a scary noise down there.
No, I saw somebody climbing up at me. Your baseball cap gave it away.
And your first instinct was to tell me what I saw.
Yes, for scaring me.
But be more specific. Like, you're not good at what you do.
Well, you are good.
Well, I know, but... Like what?
No, I mean, I said you suck because you succeeded. You scared me.
I see. All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
You don't suck on the radio. You suck trying to
sing. Some days. Dick Gregory. The Dick Gregory. No, I take some responsibility on that. I asked him the wrong questions.
But you didn't know that.
Or maybe I asked him the right questions and he gave the wrong answers. It was a couple of years
ago. Did he even answer any questions we asked?
He said he'd get back to us.
So late now.
I don't know if he's going to.
How could you be so flippant about a man who's passed on just
recently?
You know
what? Last night, finally, because I mentioned this yesterday, Dick Gregory was getting no attention at all. He died early in the weekend, and then Jerry Lewis died, and then that became the story.
Right.
If you're going to talk about anybody famous who died, it went to Jerry Lewis. But yesterday, I saw two different tributes to him that were really nice. One of them on The Daily Show, at the very end, you know, they do that thing called the Moment of Zen, where they just show you a couple of seconds of something. Well, yesterday, their Moment of Zen was Dick Gregory, and they showed him in his prime, like in the early 60s, and he did this thing where he goes, you know why I love baseball? I love baseball because it's the only time that a white man can hold, that a black man can hold a bat to a white man and not cause a race riot, which was for 1962.
Yeah,
that was
edgy.
Really edgy. You know, people always think about him now as just being nothing but political activism, but there was a time where he was one of the edgiest comedians out there, and everybody kind of forgot about that.
It is really sad that, you know, Jerry Lewis passed on and overshadowed Dick Gregory.
I know.
Who was it that you were telling me about that?
Terry Garr.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Terry Garr was on an airplane once that had turbulence, and she looked over and she saw Cher was sitting like two rows ahead of her. And she said, I sure hope this plane doesn't crash because in the newspaper it'll say, Cher dies in airplane crash, and then in small letters say, also on board was Terry Garr. Because there's all, I mean, Hollywood is the ultimate popularity contest.
Yeah, I know.
And the mere fact that you would even take a half a second and think that, but it's true. Everything goes in order of importance. And if you're Terry Garr, you go, oh, man, I die in an airplane crash. And luckily, Cher is there also dying in the same plane crash. And, that's not fair.
And didn't Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett die on the same day?
Yeah, Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett died either on the same day or a day apart. Very, very close. And Groucho Marx and Elvis Presley, same deal. Like
really?
Yeah, because normally Groucho Marx would have got tons of attention, but it all went to Elvis.
I hope you and Eric Ferguson don't die on the same day.
Me too. That would be awful. Which one of us do you think was murdered?
Not you.
Jessica Fletcher. This is murder. No, it wouldn't be me. I would be natural causes, I think, in that equation.
Yeah, it is. That's your big, you know, your big exit.
Yeah.
And then they have to share it with somebody. It would really suck.
You deserve some sort of a send-off, and you don't get it. If somebody more important dies at the same time, you don't get your proper respect there. It's terrible.
Where did Terry Garr say that when you were interviewing her?
No, she was on...
Because that's really funny.
Was it The Tonight Show? I think it might have been on The Tonight Show. This was years ago, and I just remember thinking, not only is that funny, but it's like one of the most true things I've ever heard, that because you're of the Hollywood mindset and you realize it's a pecking order.
It is.
Even in death. Even when they do that in memoriam segment on the Academy Awards or the Emmys, it's still a popularity contest. There's still people that when they die, they get all kinds of applause and stuff. And then they show the next guy and everyone's like, eh.
And then they forget people. And I mean, you really think in this day, especially of the internet.
Yeah.
It seems impossible to forget someone. Have five people do the list. And
but you know what? The argument with that isn't always that they forget people. The argument is that they only have enough time during the song, I Will Remember You, always sang beautifully, that they
add an extra verse or add the chorus again. Wasn't Joan Rivers forgotten about?
Yeah, Joan Rivers.
Okay, that's unacceptable.
Was it the Emmys last year or the Golden Globes? But sometimes they don't apply. Like somebody really famous will die, but their work will be better known for movies over television or for music
right.
Over something else. But no matter how many you include, then somebody whose, you know, children or widow is, you know, a screenwriter, they'll go, hey, how about my husband wrote 18 movies and he wasn't in there? And they'll go, well, because nobody knew who he was. It's
I
awful.
Know, but then they'll put that an occasional gaffer or something.
Yeah, right.
Which I always feel bad and I clap at home because no one claps for the gaffer.
Clap for the gaffer. That should be the name of your book.
What's the song?
Clap for the Wolfman? Yeah, Clap for the Wolfman. Your book, Clap for the Gaffer, they wouldn't know which department in the bookstore to put that in. Where do we put this?
It's a STDs weird STDs or
right.
what?
It's a strange title. Somebody needs to read it. All right. Well, now you have a year and a year and a half of knowing that I'm not going to jump out from under the desk. You can relax now.
Yeah.
Or am I lulling you into a false sense of security?
I know not to trust you, although I've known you a long time. I was trying to think how many years.
22 years?
Maybe,
like
yeah.
That.
Ballpark 25-ish.
Oh, some, yeah, maybe.
And I still believe everything you tell me, and
you
I don't know why.
Oh,
no,
should.
I should not.
You should. Because most of it's going to be true. The part that isn't, that'll eat you up.
You'd think I'd learn by now.
Right, you would think. All right, here's our game plan. The news is next, sponsored by Wendy's new book, Clap for the Gaffer, available wherever better books are sold. Good luck finding it. And then more discussion of this sort. If you want to jump in, just stop by the studio. We're on Michigan Avenue. We're easy to find. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Judy.
You're
welcome.
Do you want to talk about the future?
Yes, George
it's
Orwell.
It's coming, Wendy. The future's coming.
Did you have to read 1984 when you were in high school?
No.
We did.
Was not on our list.
It was on our list, and I loved it, and
yeah,
it was a really great book.
So you would have read it what
in
year?
In 1978.
So did it seem,
because
when he wrote it, people were like, well, that's way off into the future, but in 78, it wasn't that far off into the future.
Yeah, but at the time, you really did think there's no way people are going to be watching you.
But they nailed that. The Big Brother is watching.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Couldn't have been closer to the truth. Right?
I know.
Right?
But wow, thinking of reading 1984 before 1984 happened kind of blows me away. So let's move into the future.
I just remember any time they would talk about things that were in the year there was something about the term the year 2000.
Right.
Where it seemed like the Jetsons, it seemed like there'd be flying cars and sidewalks would move.
Where are the flying cars?
They're coming.
I'm waiting for that to happen. I thought we'd have those by now.
Not yet. It's coming.
Zipping around the buildings.
Speaking about zipping around the buildings, I saw some clips on people's Facebook pages from the Air and Water show that went on. And those Thunderbirds or whatever they are like right through the buildings.
Oh, yeah.
Fearless.
I know they're fearless, and I know that they're highly trained, but it seems very dangerous to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because things can go wrong, and it's like they're right in between. That's like watching the Jetsons.
There must be a reason they have to do that, though, right? They have to be at that altitude, because why else would they do it?
Well, it's in formation. It's just, that would scare me. I am a big baby, I've realized.
You can't be one of the Blue Angels.
No. Do you, like, cover your ears when you hear them?
Pretty loud. Did you see the eclipse yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the 25th floor?
I was pretty excited about it. Saw it halfway covered.
Yeah.
It was.
It was really difficult to find the sun through those glasses.
That's why I looked naked-eyed, because the clouds were so thick and...
Some girls in the elevator, and they better have been right, said that NASA had downgraded Chicago to like a 4 so you could look.
Who told you this?
Some girls. I believed them.
WGN girls or other girls?
No, some girls.
Public school girls?
They seem like public school girls, yes.
Bill wants to know if they were wearing uniforms.
They were dressed really well.
They were? All right.
Knee socks?
Yeah.
They had their skirts rolled up.
Yeah.
And they had vests.
Because of the eclipse?
And those little ties on.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Anyway, so I think it was okay probably to look because...
It's okay. Can you see today? I can.
Yeah, and I couldn't see anything yesterday. It was so cloudy. It was ridiculous.
I was driving out to College of DuPage to pick up my son, Michael, and there was a point where I stopped at a stoplight, and the sun, all of a sudden the clouds broke, and the light was red, so I pulled out my glasses, rolled down the window, and looked, and that's when I saw, like, over a half of the sun was covered, and it was pretty kick-ass, I gotta tell you.
It was orange. The sun, was it orange? That's how it looked in my glasses.
Yeah, I guess it was kind of orange.
Now, Tom Skilling, as you know, wept.
Adorable.
He was very, very sad.
People aren't even watching the eclipse. They're watching Tom Skilling watching the eclipse.
It's more fun to watch Tom Skilling watch the eclipse.
It's so sweet.
Do you think, because both Wendy and I think that people will love him even more now because
absolutely.
He wept. Nobody's going to make fun of Tom Skilling.
No.
People have been making fun of Tom Skilling forever.
Well,
they have, with his voice. You've been doing it all day with my word.
My word. It looks like, Judy, I'm taking a look at the sun and moon. It looks like they're giving each other a smooch.
Did he say that?
No.
Because that's some great material.
I know, right?
But he got so emotional, and I said downstairs, it's because this was like when the Cubs won the World Series and people started just bursting into tears. This was his World Series and right. Super Bowl and daughter walking down the aisle for a wedding. That was all that rolled into one.
Exactly.
How could he not cry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to compare it to something that I would happen in my life, like with my career, but what?
If you were at, if you were bargain shopping and found an incredible dress, a Dior dress for 30 cents.
And, like Walter Cronkite was wearing it?
Yeah, Walter Cronkite had the dress on.
All right, you just made it weird.
Yes.
But I can't think of a momentous occasion other than my wedding and the birth of my kids that I... That was his wedding and birth of his kids.
That was right.
I mean, it was because it's what he does.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's such a geek about the weather that, yeah, I'm trying to think what would be a geek about us, the geeky about radio, that we would do the same thing.
Hmm.
Not much.
Barbara Walters interviewing you. You would cry like a baby.
What? I would make her cry.
I believe
that. Teach her a lesson. What about when you found out that you were going to be on the WGN Radio Walk of Fame?
That's pretty huge.
Did you
Why
cry?
Does she laugh at that? That
know,
is such
I
an honor bestowed upon
It was
you.
Really an honor, but I did not weep.
No.
Not like Tom, no.
Has there anything happened to you professionally?
I smiled a lot. I smiled all day long.
You did? You smiled? Well, you should have. It was a big
honor.
Yeah,
so it was kind of a happy thing, but it wasn't like, oh my God.
Not that made me weep.
Nothing professionally. Could something happen professionally that would make you go, oh wow, this has really been worth it? Like for Tom, you could see it in his face. The culmination of all his years as a weathercaster, it was a miracle.
See, there's no analogy because that was it was a natural miracle.
Right.
And there, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's
He's devoted
not
his life
right.
to this sort of thing.
Exactly.
And there it was.
Right. In our business, there's nothing that's so momentous,
right.
I think.
What about when Eddie and Jobo broke up?
Oh, there you go.
That
you
was a,
I That made it. Me cry.
I cried when that happened.
Jobo's still weeping.
Right. Right.
And yesterday at Brookfield Zoo, my sister and cousin are docents, and they talked to some of the people in the children's zoo, which isn't called that anymore. I can't remember what it is. But all the goats that were there when the eclipse happened, because it did get darker. Did you notice that walking to the train? It was definitely, it looked like a giant thunderstorm was about ready to happen. And it did start raining very lightly, but it got darker, and I guess the goats at Brookfield Zoo kind of looked a little spooked, and they kind of gathered together a little bit, and then after the 90% was done, they started getting back to their business, but they looked a little nervous and like something wasn't quite
their
right.
Their body clocks weren't in sync or something, right? Now, I have to be honest, I was prepared to make fun of you because you said animals aren't going to know what to make of this, and then in my head I'm like going, it's just a couple minutes. They'll deal with it. Everything baffles animals. Like on a daily, they look at something and they go, what is that? And you have to explain to them, it's juice, you know? So I was going to make fun of you, but I had two weird animal incidents yesterday. Number one was, Reese and Kylie have a rabbit that always stays in their room. There's like, there's no line in the doorway, but the rabbit knows I don't cross this line under any circumstances. It always stays in their room. And twice yesterday, the rabbit was, one time it was in Terry and my bedroom, and one time it was just walking down the hall.
See?
And it never leaves the room.
You mean hopping down the hall?
No, we took elocution lessons for the rabbit. It walks on two, and it wears a top hat. It's the most adorable thing you ever saw. But both times we're like, wait, you, rabbit, you know you have to stay in the room.
Is that his name, Rabbit?
I call it Rabbit. I can't remember it. She has another name. I don't remember it. So I just say, rabbit person, you're supposed to be in there. So that happened.
That is weird, though.
That is weird, because it never leaves, but twice in one day. And then also at night, there were two animals. There's a big tree in our backyard that's home to several different kinds of animals. And they were having like a war in the tree, because they were making all kinds of crazy noises. And the tree just kept shaking and shaking and shaking. And Reese and I went out, and Reese had a flashlight, and she was shining it up there. We couldn't see the animals. But that something threw them last night.
Well, maybe they feel something more than we do.
Well, the crickets—that's what I heard. The crickets came out
crazy.
Because it's like it. All of a sudden, it got dark, so they think, "Wow, nighttime came early." They don't know it's only going to last for 2 minutes.
Crickets, or just some crickets?
Most of the nocturnal animals—they
came out for a few minutes.
Their nocturnal vibe
places,
kicked in.
It was pitch black, you know, obviously, and then
was
those
it
places,
really?
Yes. Yes, it was dark.
Not in Carbondale, though.
Carbondale got dark.
Because people that I've heard, they said their biggest, not disappointment, but thing that surprised him the most was it didn't get as dark as they thought it was supposed to.
And well, and I guess it was got a little cloudy right at the time of the eclipse, so maybe that. But, you know, Patty Vasquez was there, and she was talking about, the first thing she mentioned was the crickets.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm standing by the woods, and all the, you could hear all the crickets.
But just for a very short amount of time.
Right. Once it got light again, then
they went,
and, you know, then the animals that feed at night, they started to go into, like, maybe the, I don't know about the goats, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
A lot of the animals just, like, dropped whatever they were doing, playing cards, whatever, yeah. Watching the soaps.
The dogs playing cards said, hey.
And they started to get
to
into
bed.
Their pattern of, you know.
Nighttime
feeding. And then they woke up again, I guess.
Jim was walking around with his glasses looking for people, all the housewives that are home. He loves working from home.
Sure. Of course.
Want to take a look at my glasses?
Are still at home? And
yeah, there are some.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there are.
Wendy lives in Mad Men Town.
I do. There were some stay-at-home moms. Yeah, not me. I need to get out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So he was walking around, and I asked if he brought Tiki the dog with, because I wanted to see if Tiki acted strangely. And Tiki was just sleeping in the basement as usual. But last night, at like 1 a.m, Tiki just kept looking at me, barking at me like he wanted to go out or something. So he was, something was off a little.
Strange. Interesting.
And, you know, animals can really tell, like, when there's a storm coming in, before the storm happens, they start getting worried looking.
Yeah. Right.
But the rabbit, that's really kind of weird.
It was during the eclipse. No, it was
afterwards.
It was afterwards.
Okay. A few hours afterwards.
So it was just thrown off.
Yeah, it seems like, because they think a whole day went by, and it was only 2 minutes.
There you go. That could be it.
I guess so. I don't know.
You don't sound like you care very much.
It's funny you even bring it up, though. It was just very strange because I don't think I've ever seen, unless one of my daughters physically picks the rabbit up and brings them somewhere else, it just always stays, she always stays in the room.
Do you have
an
electric fence for the bunny?
Yeah.
Is his name Harvey?
No. You're making a mockery of this, Judy.
Surprised you have a rabbit.
I'm glad
anyway.
The eclipse only happens once every 1,000 years. The next one's Wednesday, by the way. So the reason I bring up the future is, Wendy, normally, now this isn't the case this time, but normally they do this whenever a school year is about to start. They say, here's what the class of 2017, here's what they know, because they've only lived, you know, for a certain amount of years, and this is what they've experienced in their lives. This year, for some reason I don't understand, over at MSN, they did the things that the class of 2030 will know, and to me, 2030 means... So you'd be 5 years old now, so it'd be going into kindergarten or first grade, right? Kindergarten, probably.
Kindergarten. These are what kindergartners.
So by the time they graduate in 2030, this will sum up their lives. These
Boy,
are the
this
facts
is a stretch.
About them. I know. I don't know why they're doing 2030. Normally, it's that year's graduating class.
All right. Well, little kindergartners, when they graduate from high school,
all that they will know. For instance, they will have no idea what life is like without an iPhone. But I think you could say that, like, about our kids.
No.
The iPhone's always been around for them.
Not for my kids.
No?
No.
When did the iPhone come out?
10 years ago?
2007, I guess. The first one came out in 2007. Isn't an iPhone just a regular cell phone? Is there a difference?
Yeah,
we had cell phones way before iPhones.
I had a cell phone that had to be in my car, though.
What's the difference between a cell phone and an iPhone?
One's a smartphone. You can go
one's
on the
more
internet.
Expensive.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that's the difference.
Yeah, yes, I mean, we had cell phones before.
So you say smartphone.
Yes.
So it's one that you could physically go to the internet.
Yeah, we had phones, of course, and we could go on the internet on the... Well, no.
On a regular computer.
Yeah, on a regular computer.
Yeah, but, I mean, when Michael was born in 99... I didn't have an iPhone to take pictures of him. I had to use, you know, 35mm and get the pictures developed and realize...
You mean a camera?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And only one out of the roll of 36 was good. So now it was like, oh, a digital camera.
Right.
That was exciting.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, I believe that.
They will always carry or have always carried pocket-sized computers. This is for the kids of 2013, so a first grader now, their whole lives. It says, according to Business Insider, 90% of the world's population will have portable supercomputers by 2023. Well, what's the difference between a supercomputer and what your iPhone does? Is there a difference between that?
I don't know.
I don't know what the difference would be. Their high school will offer them a lot of e-classes. That's already becoming
a big thing,
right? Yeah. They will be taught by teaching robots.
I don't believe that for a minute.
The TeachBot, Wendy.
Right.
It says, according to a 2016 Artificial Intelligence and Life report, a number of companies have already created robots that will aid teachers in the classroom. They are called Ozobots, O-Z-O and then bot. It's an AI, artificial intelligence, that teaches children to code and reason deductively while dancing around. That's what the robot does. Well, the dancing around part is appealing to me.
Like the Peanuts characters.
Right.
Looking up.
Right. Right. Yeah, teaching robots, I can understand that happening in the next few years. Their education, if you have a kid who's five now and will graduate in 2030, will be individualized. Because of these technology advances, the class of 2030 will experience more personalized teaching. That's already becoming a thing, right? Like, depending on what your curriculum is, if you determine you want to go into, and to some extent they had this in our high schools, like if you were a kid that wanted to learn a trade, like we at Oak Forest High School, there were certain kids that knew they were going to go into a certain trade. So they were bused like a couple days a week to a trade school.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty great. Our high school.
You didn't help
I don't
for
think
that?
So. They had the auto shop classes.
Right.
You know, for people who knew that's what I want to do.
Yeah. They would start them early.
Wow. I don't know. Maybe they did.
I'm trying to remember where the school was, but I remember a couple of kids. I had a couple of kids in some
like
classes.
Like DeVry or...
Yeah.
No, they...
Illinois Institute of Technology.
Exactly, yeah.
But now they're saying that with kids today, almost everything will be more individualized. If your kid shows a certain interest in one particular thing, they'll focus more on that. And like for me, I knew... science and I don't get along, right? So I still had to take science classes. But now if I was a kid now just going through school, they'd say... We're not going to waste our time with you with science. You're not going to be a scientist.
I don't believe that.
You don't think so?
No, because there's certain requirements to get you through the high school level to prepare you for college or otherwise.
But
so,
maybe instead of science, it'll be called, you know, whatever you're...
Science of the future.
Well, let's say you're interested in music. It'll
right.
be, I'll try to mesh those,
right.
you know, how they do that. And like, kind of like the Art Institute does that.
Yeah, yeah.
They, like, I remember when my son was applying there, I was worried about him not having that traditional college education.
Yeah.
Well, they instead of English, they have script writing. You know,
so they
they'll,
find a
yeah,
form
they'll
of
find,
it.
Well, yeah, they'll find a way to incorporate that.
Well,
into
that's
what
awesome. I wish they did that.
Because really, you need to have a broad
right.
You need
education.
To have a little bit.
Yeah,
but
you
now,
can't...
Look at this. One of my daughters, Kylie, is studying to be a documentarian in New York. Math, she understands the importance of math, but she's not going to be a mathematician. Well, I said to her last year, you should probably take some of these classes, get them out of your way your first and second year, like math. And she goes, I don't have to take math. And I go, no, you do, or they're not going to graduate
right.
you. Turns out I'm wrong. She doesn't have to take any more math classes.
You'd think that they'd have to take some, like just the bare minimum, like two math classes to learn. If you have to figure out how long a movie is, you
right.
have to have some mathematical
right.
formulas.
Right.
Does
far
she
as
go to
concerned.
A traditional university or an artsy university?
It's a school that focuses on the arts, but I still thought you'd still have to take the basics,
right.
but
no,
I'm wrong.
But
you
yeah,
don't anymore.
Because they probably have incorporated that into something else.
I guess.
Like the Art Institute.
But I have mixed feelings about that.
I know.
Because you use math. That's one of those things you kind of need to know.
Right.
But they've determined if you're going into a business where math isn't important, but I think it is
I
important.
Think it's always important.
Yeah.
You're going to use it in everything. And you
right.
might as well just take at least the basics. I mean, I think I did statistics was the last thing.
Right.
Because, I hated it myself. You know, and I'm the same way. Why do I need math?
But you know now as an adult it was a good idea, right?
Right? I'm glad I did it.
Right.
And
absolutely.
She's going to school to be a documentarian.
Right.
You know, I have a son who wants to be a musician. Maybe they need a backup plan, too. So to
yeah.
have a well-rounded education
so
is beneficial.
So you can look at your bank account and say this number is a lot
right.
lower than I thought
so
it would
So you
be.
Can count the money in the hat at the subway.
Right.
Right.
But that's...
I meant when your son's playing really
right.
well.
No, no, no.
Right.
I know.
Now, this is the one of the ones I've read to you so far. This one is the most disturbing to me, although I think if you told a kid this, they'd go, oh, that sounds great. Your children could have phones implanted in their heads.
Well, that company already put the chips in the hands of people, so you don't need your door pass to get in.
You just wave your hand past it, and that lets you in?
Yeah, now more companies have called that company and said, hey, could you do this with us?
Oh,
if Jimmy
wow.
DeCastro was here, we'd have it.
It's funny that we even call it a phone anymore.
Right, because it's everything
who even
now.
Call, yeah, who are, it's
well,
so
now
not
they
a
say,
phone.
People mostly say device.
Device, I guess. I don't right. really do. Where's my device? I lost my device. No, I say phone.
Yeah, I still say phone.
I finally dropped telly.
You don't say telly anymore? Wendy, I don't know if you know this about Judy. She was raised in Piccadilly Circus.
I did not know that.
It says in 2025, it is predicted that the first implantable mobile phones will be ready for purchase. The device will potentially be able to track a person's health more accurately. This according to Business Insider, which will also allow them to communicate through brainwaves or signal ahead of verbality.
What am I thinking now?
That's the thing. I'll be like, oh, my God, oh, my God, I hate her so much. I can't stop thinking that.
And then
it'll
they'll get a
terrible.
Text that says
right.
that.
Yes.
Judy Pilak hates me. It says it right here on my text.
You just got a text, Bill.
You've got mail. Every time I'd get that, I'd go to my mailbox to see if I had mail. It says their clothing, this again, if you're a child now, you're 5 years old now, you'll graduate in 2030, your clothing could connect to the internet. Your clothing could.
They, I thought, have something like that now.
They do. There's a shirt that has a computer screen on the sleeve. I've seen that.
Why don't you get that?
Should I wear that? I'll start wearing that.
I'll see if I can find you one at Goodwill.
That'll look a used one, an old used one. Your driver's ed classes will probably involve self-driving cars. It says while driver's ed will definitely be enforced in high schools by 2026, it's predicted only 10% of all cars will be self-driving. Is that right? 10% in just 2026? That's fast.
That's a long time away.
Yeah, 9 years away.
Not very
and only 10%?
That's a small number.
Yeah, I thought I would expect 60%.
I thought we would have been, maybe it'll happen like the whole smartphone internet thing. Boom.
Just overnight.
Yeah. Overnight.
Where all of a sudden everything will be. Also, your cars will probably be 3D printed.
Oh my God, that means everyone can afford a car. Seriously. It'll be way cheaper to produce them.
But won't they find a way to make that expensive?
Yes.
Just so car companies don't go under?
Well, like, they may go under.
They could have the technology, but they don't want it to be such where it hurts them.
I would spend money on a $5,000 3D printer.
But don't you need
so
the
I could print
specifications?
Up.
I mean,
you need the specifications.
You can't just print up a car, right?
But I would print a house, a boyfriend.
Money?
Right.
Money?
That seems right.
A boyfriend.
But like, you know, like now if you go and have something small.
I can just crumple them up when Jim comes home.
A new boss. Sorry.
If you have something small printed on a 3D printer now, it's going to cost you quite a bit of money. Right?
But that'll get way cheaper.
Yeah, as they become more prevalent, it'll be cheaper. But I think something the size of a car, that's still going to run. It's got to still be expensive. Like, look at what printer ink costs now. You say to yourself, printer ink should cost you a penny a gallon. It shouldn't cost a fortune, but it's still expensive.
It is pretty expensive, and it runs out so darn quickly.
That's our number one expense, is printer ink.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, don't you do what I do? I get it mailed to my house when I run low.
Do you? Is it a lot less expensive that way?
I pay like a dollar something a month.
Really?
Yes.
That's not
like
bad.
An HP
it's
printer
not.
Thing?
Even I haven't gotten a cartridge in probably a year, so I did call because I was like, well, this is ridiculous. I'm not printing enough.
Yeah.
But when I added it up, it was still cheaper.
Oh, really?
Yes, and they gave me a, they said, yeah, and you haven't, so let's give you a little discount here because you have.
Is it really, HP?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Cause
yes.
I just bought HP cartridge. I got the colored, tricolor and the black, and that was like $39. And I needed an additional black, and that was $26. So there's $50 right there. You're paying how much?
I guess a dollar something.
That's
a
not
month?
Bad.
A month.
So they're
really?
They're rechargeable. They're containers that you can just add the ink to the containers.
No,
obviously.
No, they send you new
they
cartridges.
Send me a brand new one.
And that's all it costs?
And they sent me the little envelope to send to my old cartridges to wherever they should go.
Oh.
Yeah, because they should be recycled.
Yeah,
they redo them.
Yep.
All right, I'm
so,
joining
So, I mean, if you're
today.
A printer, yeah, if you use a lot of
we do.
Printers.
Two kids in school.
You use a printer a lot, yeah.
I print porn all the time.
My gosh,
all the time.
And all of a sudden, I bought a new printer and everything, and then we stopped printing. Because I think we said the school thing stopped. That's what happened.
Yeah, that was it.
Let me just share one or two more. We only have a minute or two, but I find these disturbing. Colleges could cost as much as $130,000 per year by the time you're
five. Year?
Per year?
I thought you would say it was free. When is it going to be free?
No, it won't be free. It'll be just the opposite. A CNBC article discussed what tuition would look like in 18 years' time, and the average private university could end up costing you an annual amount of over $130,000 per year.
Can I tell you something? No one's going to go to college anymore.
Yeah, and then it's going to have to bottom out.
No one will go.
It's so out of line.
Well,
now.
Or all the rich people who can afford it, and then there'll be a bigger disparity.
Yeah,
which is even worse.
Here's one more really disturbing one. The word teenagers will be exchanged for a new term called screenagers.
Yeah,
these are kids who are essentially in their teens but are using their screens to accomplish everything. So the new word dubbed will be screenagers.
Well, that's like Mouseketeer means something different now than it used to.
What does it mean now?
Well, it's a computer mouse. All the kids that play on their computers.
Oh, are they called Mouseketeers? I didn't know that.
No, I just made that up. Everybody?
That's disrespectful to Annette Funicello, Wendy.
I wasn't being disrespectful.
Please don't be disrespectful to Annette Funicello. All right, we must take a break.
Thanks, Jude.
Judy, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break and then we'll close things off. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
That's all she wrote, and who is she?
I don't know who she is, but she refuses to write anything else. Enjoy day two of the eclipse. It's not as well attended today. I'm looking downstairs. It looks empty today.
It was bizarre looking out the window, seeing people looking up.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that picture that used to go out with people wearing their 3D glasses looking at a movie theater screen? That's kind of what yesterday was.
Great analogy. That's exactly what it was. All right, today, take an eclipse day off. You deserve it after all your hard work yesterday. Try it again tomorrow.
All right.
Bye, Wendy. Thanks for coming in. It's great to see you.
See you,
Bye,
Bill.
Kevin.
Goodbye.